Hey everybody, Noah here. Friday, December 6th, JumpCast, the only manga podcast with five villains. That is way more villains than before. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan.
Yo.
Did they add more villains to that Spider-Man movie?
I don't remember hearing about Green Goblin before.
Well, no, there was going to be three in this one, if I'm not mistaken, still. But the thing is that in the trailer, inside of Oscorp, they show gear for the Falcon and Doc Ock. So the implication seems to be that Oscorp is kind of going to be the unifying bad guy of this series, and that in a future one, we're going to have the Sinister Six.
So he's like, making Smile to, like, breed people half with animals.
Yeah, sure.
Like, every not-Marvel movie is just trying to get to Avengers as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Yeah, they're trying to go from...
You saw the Wonder Woman announcement, right? We know who that's going to be now.
They cast a skeleton as Wonder Woman, which I think is really progressive of them.
She's attractive, just not Wonder Woman.
I can just about see through her.
It'll be interesting to see like, how much she buffs up before the movie, if at all.
Like, in the comics, Wonder Woman had an invisible jet, and people wouldn't believe that in a movie.
Man, what are we doing talking about American comics? Those are for losers.
Well, do we have any house cleaning before we get to the Japanese comics?
Don't think so.
The Japanese comics set in America?
Yes.
Nothing got canceled this week, nothing new this week.
I mean, we can talk about color pages for next week, but that's about it.
This week was awesome because pretty much every manga, and we have a lot of them to cover, was really good.
Oh shit, Beals has color pages next week. That's not good.
Yes. It does not say end. They announce end before it ends.
I'm really worried.
All right, so let's get to that. Because Lee didn't cover Beals last week with Chapter 230. And we both had suspicions... Well, you mostly had suspicions that Beals was ending.
Mostly at the end of this chapter. Let's talk about this chapter first.
Okay, so Oga and Beals are confronting Beals' mom.
Who we have suspected might be the leader of the Solomon Company.
Or someone high up, somehow. Yeah.
Which does not appear to be the case.
Well, she's wielding some power, essentially, or at least has lots of perks.
Yeah. And they're not able to go right over to her, but, you know, they're sharing a meal at the end of a long table.
Right.
Yeah, it's the super rich person thing, eating, like, weird food, and she says, oh, the
look
chicken's
from
the...
Look how loud I have to yell.
The chicken's seasoned with salt from the Himalayas. Oh, maybe I should have just gotten you sushi.
So she feels super dissociated from everything.
Yeah,
or from
like,
Beals.
She hasn't seen her son, so she doesn't really know him or know anything about him.
And this kind of pisses Oga off. He's like, why the hell are you even here?
Yeah, like, she goes over to Beal and says, like, oh, try to say mommy, mommy. And then, you know, just the real generic stuff, like you would do with other people's kids.
So, Oga wants to know what the deal is, and Johan, I don't think we ever got this guy's name before now.
No, that's the first time we hear his name.
Johan says he never told Oga anything. It would be best if he heard it strictly from Beals' mom.
The mysterious suited man.
Yes. So she's been in a decade-long argument with Beals' dad.
Yeah.
Not decade-long, but at least since Beals was born.
Yeah, because he is a deadbeat father.
Yes. He doesn't really care about anything, so she punched him out and said she's going home to her mother.
Which is kind of amazing.
Yes. But since she told him to get a life and, you know, do something with his demon lordship, he decided he was going to take over the human realm.
Yes.
And now she has to stay there to prevent him from doing that. So she went to people who had resources, which was the Solomon Company who made anti-demon things.
That's the best setup for reasons ever.
Yeah. And so the Solomon Company arranged it so Beals would go stronger and be able to protect the human realm himself.
And then so, it was kind of implied that Oga was specifically chosen and that they, you know, crafted all of these fights that he'd had to do just specifically to
well,
do that.
It's not implied, it's directly said.
Yeah, Johan's basically like, basically everyone that has come up against you is all because of us.
It's just you had told me before that you thought Beals is ending. When I was reading this, I was like, yeah, this is a lot like one of those last, you know,
final boss
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
by the way, I controlled everything.
Like when Ichigo fought Aizen and it's like, oh yeah, you remember like the very first chapter? I was behind that too, and everything since then.
Yeah. So Johan
and then
says
Bleach ended, right?
Yeah. 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 That's what happened, right? He beat Aizen and happy ending.
So Johan congratulates or thanks Oga for raising Beals like an idiot. And then he decides he's just gonna go ahead and reveal his whole evil plan.
Yeah, he has.
Because why not?
Yeah, why keep up the facade when everything he needs is right before him?
Yeah. So as Beal's mom tries to reach forward, a force field goes up that would, like, tear away her flesh if she tried to touch it.
Yeah, it's, like, the most powerful force field or something.
So Oga decides to punch it.
Yeah, he just pushes his hand right through, ripping, like, the skin off of his hand.
I actually did that to myself as a kid once.
You punched through a force field?
Through a force field?
I stuck my hand underneath an escalator.
Why?
I was a kid. I was curious where it went.
I used to have nightmares about my pants getting like caught in escalators and dragging me under.
I used to, when I was a kid, I would stare at my feet just to make sure that my shoelaces weren't going to get caught in.
Yeah, that can fuck you up something fierce. All the skin came off. So yeah.
I imagine that would have. Do you have like a nifty scar from that?
No, it all healed pretty easily.
Hmm.
You just piccoloed it and just like yelled and another arm came out.
I yelled, wait until my hand comes back.
Actually, in the trauma, you yell, I can see their parachutes, and everyone was really confused. So Oga punches through to deliver the note that Hilda gave him.
Which appears to be from the Overlord. One of you called that. I think it was Mike.
Nah, I don't remember saying that.
Somebody said letter from the Overlord. So it's apparently incomprehensible or just really random crap, but she could smell him on it, and that made her cry.
Yeah, she misses him.
So Oga, realizing that that's all he really needed to hear, that she still actually does care for Beals and the Overlord, that he's going to fight on her behalf.
Yeah, he's going to go punch Johan.
And it's time for the finale. Which,
yep.
Uh-oh.
Last chapter of Beelzebub this week.
Like, I'm not pro the idea that Beelzebub is ending, but if it did end, it's ending in, like, it's making the movements toward that.
Yeah, it's ending in style. It's going out on top of the mountain.
I think, I like to think this is just like a big fake out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it's not ending.
But I mean, like, I'm guessing that those signals are being put out on purpose.
Yeah. I don't know, with Tamura, it could go either way.
I mean, like, Johan revealing that he's behind everything and, you know, final boss dialogue coming from him, like...
But even then, he's not really the final boss, because as the manga starts, he's saying that even if Oga beats him up, nothing would change. He's just one guy.
Yeah, and Oga's okay with trying anyway.
Yeah, he'll just have to find that one guy he has to beat up.
And then Johan starts to get a little bit more deranged looking.
Well, he slams him into the floor, like, head first.
Well,
and starts
slams
talking
him into the table, which bends in half, which goes into the floor.
Yeah.
And then starts talking about the common cuckoo, which is a wonderful metaphor for this.
That's the bird that lays eggs in other birds' nests, right?
Yeah. And then the other birds raise their infants and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
Even though they're completely different, Oga was still telling Beals that he's his son.
And he thinks that their father-son relationship is completely disgusting and... like, why would anyone even bother?
And hearing that, Iris gets super pissed and rams her wheelchair into the force field and presses her forehead up against it, which is a really awesome scene.
Yeah.
So I just noticed that Iris didn't have a wheelchair when they showed her back in the demon world.
No, when she's punching the demon lord?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't notice that either.
Maybe she's sick from staying in this world.
And then somebody karate chops her.
Yeah.
It's her assistant person that was there for like one panel last chapter.
Yeah.
And Beals, upon seeing this, freaks out.
It's also
and then Oga goes Super Saiyan.
Yeah. He becomes Toriko, essentially.
Yeah. He gets like, I'm going to say green hair, since Beals has green hair.
Yeah, that's what happened in the anime.
Yeah.
Did that happen in the anime?
Yeah, during the Super Milk time when he went Super Saiyan last time.
Ah. So he picks up Johan and like slams him into a wall.
Into the
slams him into the force field. Which is really cool.
And then starts Gum Gum Gatling him into
Damn it, I was going to say Gum Gum Gatling.
And then cracks the barrier and knocks him through it. And then I think out the building?
Yeah, seemingly out the window. Like,
and like destroys every window on the floor.
This is Die Hard as fuck. If yeah. Die Hard was an anime, this is how it ended. With John McClane punching a dude out a window.
The reluctant cop.
Hilda and Furuichi arrive.
On Hilda's bird thing that very rarely comes up. So Oga says that Beale's mother is like, clearly that she wants Beale's back and she wants to go home. Oga says Beale should go back with her.
Yeah.
That his job here is done. He doesn't need to raise him anymore.
Yep, which is what Oga had been wanting the entire time, was to get rid of the...
First, standing up for his mom, Beals became a real man.
Yeah. And Beale starts to cry, and Oga tells him that he promised he wouldn't.
And then in a severely touching scene, Beale says, Data. His first words.
His first words.
And then you can see Oga's eyes start to tear up a little as he says, it was a fun ride, and for Hilda to take them back.
Yeah.
And he walks away dramatically, even though he has nowhere really to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting center color next week. So, hooray.
Yeah.
And it's not ending next week, because when the series is ending, they always say parentheses end. But, man, this is feeling like an ending arc.
I mean, let's assume that it's not ending, like, not next week, but in general, it's not ending soon. I think this is totally going to be that fake out that, okay, Oga's done with Beale, series over. I'm guessing he's going to go back, Fuji's going to be a thing.
Yeah, Fuji is going to have beaten everybody else, and then Oga's going to be trying to fight him without Beale's or something like that.
I mean, okay, it's not ending, because look at the state of the world. The Solomon Company is still there, and there's still, like, 6 sins that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
No, there's 5 we haven't seen. We've seen... 5.
Oh, we didn't mention the actual important thing that they say Iris is... They need her because she can control the sins.
Ah, yes. So, I'm going to say realistically, the fallout from all this is Iris is going to come live with them.
I can see that.
And, like, they'll have another weird... It'll be
and
funny
Oga
seeing...
will have a second wife.
Yeah, people are going to say, like, oh, he's into older women, I guess.
Or they'll treat her as a mother-in-law. They live it with the family in Japan, don't they?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I can just see her.
He'll have Beale's mom and his wet nurse, and everybody will find out that Hilda's the wet nurse and think that he's, you know, a terrible person.
Or they just won't believe her, or they'll congratulate Oga for, like, the older woman.
That'll be great if it's like, oh, he left Beale's mother for the wet nurse. What a scumbag. Piece of shit. Creepy. But yeah, this, like, if Beals was lower in the rankings, I could see them just going, like, you know, and they're, you know, the end, they split up. But
I mean, yeah, but you made the salient point that nothing's really resolved.
Yeah,
like, he beat Johan, but as Johan pointed out, that meant nothing.
I agree that they're gonna go back, and there's probably gonna be, what do you guys think, like 4 or 5 chapters, and then Beals is gonna show back up. Like, see Oga struggle not having demon powers.
I don't even know if it's going to be 4 or 5.
2? Going with Beals' pace? 1?
I'm going to go with 3. I'm going to go finale of 3 chapters from now.
Of course, I mean, it's Beelzebub, so very next chapter it could be like, yeah, whatever, let's go back together.
It could just start with Iris, like, being like, nope, I don't want a kid, and then, like, leaving.
Yeah.
Going Deadbeat out the window mom. On her wheelchair, and then, like, catching a ramp and flipping them off as she
and then
rolls
it turns
away.
Out that the wheelchair has a hover chair, so then it just, like, gets rockets and flies off into the sky.
She is Professor X's away. Just goes, I'm in a wheelchair, bitches. Shoots off into the sky.
So, but, the fact that she can control the sins implies to me that she's not actually human.
Yeah, well, and the entire go back to the demon world and whatnot, it's looking like she is.
Yeah, she's... So Beals is 100% demon.
Yep, yeah. I was wrong.
I think we were all wrong there.
Yeah, I thought for sure. I thought that was going to be the thing.
Yeah. But I mean, in fairness, they've established that demon people look exactly like humans anyway.
So why not?
Yeah.
God, Oga really does look like Toriko.
Yeah. Even his clothes look sort of Toriko-ish.
I think it's like the torn sleeve, because it's like Koriko's always kind of got that sort of costume.
Yeah.
Well, also, just the way his hair is in that panel is very Toriko.
Yeah, it's not quite Super Saiyan. It's Toriko all over.
Torikoga? That we call him?
Yeah. I think Super Saiyan, it gets to the point quicker.
More people are familiar with Dragon Ball.
Yeah, who gives a shit about Toriko?
Not us, apparently.
That's millions of people.
Well, I hear it's actually the volume sales have been dipping quite a bit.
Really?
That's a shame.
I've also been hearing from people who read it that it's been getting, like, that it's been fantastic lately.
Like apparently the big problem is merchandise. Like, One Piece is either always going up or staying consistent, and then, but Toriko's is just continually going down.
Like, it had its popularity that's now starting to wane.
Yeah. Like, I've always kind of wondered if Toriko is meant to be, like, just jumps in pushing it really hard because they know they need it soon. Because everything else is ending.
Yeah. We mentioned on here that Kishimoto talked more about Naruto being in its final phase, right?
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Yeah. Which, obviously, considering what's happening...
Which, obviously.
Yeah.
End of sentence.
Yeah.
So, speaking of something that's not ending anytime soon...
Nisekoi?
The best chapter of Nisekoi in about 100 chapters.
This chapter was pretty great. Utterly ridiculous, but pretty great.
It gets a little too, pardon the pun, cheesecakey at some point.
Yeah.
I think, what is great, as soon as you read it, you like told me this chapter was designed for me or something.
Yeah. No, I read it and I went, Mike is going to love this chapter.
So, it starts off at Ardera's family shop, which is a Japanese sweet shop. And across the street, a rival cake shop is opened.
Yeah.
An American treat shop.
So, like,
and
the eighth
what's
best
sad
character
is
in the
that
series.
I think about these things way too much. And, like, as soon as I read that, I went, no, that's not how businesses work.
In what sense?
When a shop, like, if another restaurant would open in the same category... It actually increases the traffic to both of them because that location becomes a place that people go to when they want that product. So it actually increases traffic to both places.
Maybe
as long as there is a certain level of quality, you know, you're not talking about a great place opening up next to a crappy one.
I think that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah, I know. But like this entire chapter was like, this isn't what would be going on.
Why haven't they taken a microeconomics course? Come on now, Mikoshi.
Get it together, man.
Anyway, continue, Mike. Talk about your favorite character.
Oh, the eighth best character in the series and my personal favorite, Onodera's mom, is pretty much the focus of this chapter. She is amazing for the whole thing.
Yeah, this is like bringing out the faces hardcore.
So they all go over across the street to check out this cakery.
And
find Raku.
Because there's not a single event in Japan that goes on without Raku.
At least not involving these girls.
Yes. If Haru and Onodera did not come with them, then Raku would not have been there. That's how
it seems reasonable.
Space and time works in Nisekoi.
So it's like, it was like another dude until they made the decision to go over there, and then like the timeline shifted to another course, and then Rocky just like materialized in the spot.
That would actually be a really good manga idea.
It's like Quantum Leap, only a romance manga.
That actually would be an interesting idea.
Nothing in the series happens without this character. Nothing. So one of Raku's mobster friends has realized his dream of opening a cakery. And since he doesn't have enough workers quite yet, he needs Raku to help out for a little while.
And also he knows that Raku is an excellent cook and everything else like that.
Yeah.
For like the opening week. It's not for very long.
Yes. So Raku explains that he didn't really intend to be the enemy. He just, you know, this is just somewhere he's helping out with and maybe everyone else can get along. And Odera's mother swears a blood oath against him.
She flips
off
and
head rotates 90 degrees, and she stares into the depth of his soul and eats it.
So Ernair's mom gets all pissy and stews about it for a while until she comes up with an idea that she's going to go check them out and as an undercover housewife.
Because nobody could ever tell that she is herself.
And like all women in Nisekoi, she looks like she's 12 when she lets her hair down.
For a brief, I thought it was Mikage for a little while.
Oh, God.
Because she looks a lot like her.
I need some cakes, ye.
Do ye have cakes?
And every time she says a sentence, she ends with, you traitor, or you opportunist.
You fucking opportunist.
Yeah, fucking opportunist, you moron. I love it. Like, she keeps muttering that after. She can't help it.
So she sticks a daifuku into the cake and then screams about, oh no, how could this possibly get in here? How are you going to compensate me for this?
And of course, the guy who's running the place has no idea what the heck is going on and then realizes, wait, you're from across the street.
And then this gives Rocker the idea of putting Japanese sweets in his cakes, because then that will make people want Japanese sweets across the street.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
If they can buy Japanese sweets in the store that they're already in, clearly they'll go across the street to get some.
Walmart helps people because they can just see things at Walmart and then go somewhere completely different and pay more.
They'll see those lower-priced brooms and be like, I want a higher-quality broom, and go to the broom store that's going out of business.
Yeah. Why brooms?
Why not brooms?
What he goes shopping for all the time.
So, obviously, this plan backfired, and everybody loves the new Japanese sweet cakes.
So, Onodera's mom is absolutely shameless and forces her daughters to dress in slutty outfits.
And if sales go down, they're going to have to remove more and more clothing. But sales were going up, because obviously.
Yes. And Raku's okay with this.
I do like that running joke of every time Raku sees this, he's like, I really want to see that. Wait, no, I don't.
No, he's, I really want to see it. I just don't want anybody else to.
It's an immediate gut lizard brain reaction.
Yep. So like, that sounds great. You know, an exclusively Western cake.
Which turns out to be incredibly popular. And they can't keep up production anymore.
Then Onodera's mom is spying into the cakery by pressing herself up in the window in one of the freakiest panels that Nisekoi has ever done.
It's very horror manga.
It's the bug eyes. Just, oh, so good.
Onodera calls Raku in saying that her mom's threatening to make her and Haru wear swimsuits.
And yes, Raku's like, that sounds like a fantastic idea.
He wants to see, but no, he actually doesn't, or
yeah,
he shouldn't.
He cannot subject her to that.
I would say that Haru is there in his fantasy of wanting to see them in bathing suits.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's a little, like, come on, Nisekoi. That's unnecessary.
Oh, and here I thought you were going to say contrived.
Not contrived. I was going to say cheesecake, but that's too punny.
I say we go with it.
Cheesecake.
So, Raku decides to work together with the Japanese sweet shop for a collaborative sweet.
Yes. Available for a limited time only.
Yes.
And people go to both. So basically, Raku has solved the problem for the week he'll be working there.
And then he leaves, and the cakery becomes awful, and Onodera's mom is, you know, saying that obviously he should marry her daughter because he sabotaged the place from the inside.
Yes. So Onodera suggests that Raku and her would make a good, or would run a sweet shop well together.
By which she means Raku would run a good sweet shop.
And Haru calls her out and like, what do you mean by that, huh? And she freaks out. And Onodera's mom is still throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
The end.
Dun, 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 dun.
So yeah, it was a one-off chapter. It was silly, but it does what Nisekoi does best.
Reaction faces?
Onodera's mom?
Yeah. It was just entertaining.
I still think Shitoge's mom is better than Onodera's mom.
I want to see them, like, meet now.
Yeah, I want to see them meet, have a fight, and then become, like, best friends.
I could just see them both, like, throwing a punch and hitting each other in the cheek, and then, like, bro-fisting each other.
Then it turns out they both have keys.
No, they both have lockets.
They both have, yeah, I was going to say, they both have lockets. And it turns out each girl's key opens her mom's locket for some weird reason.
Oh yeah, we gave you those books. Where would a kid even get a book?
Yeah, what do you think those books materialize? Where would you get these lockets and keys? You didn't just make them. We had to go buy them for you, stupid little...
And we thought that they looked really nice, and we tried to give you the locket, but no, you insisted on having the key, so I kept it for myself.
You know what's inside? My pain medication. From the cesarean scar. Thanks.
I bought this the day you were born.
To
serve as a reminder.
Yeah.
All right.
So on to the other series that is often mediocre but had a decent week. Bleach.
Where the Lucha Libre guy, who's... I remember him having a really good name, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway, he sees Rukia and Renji falling to the ground.
Yeah, he is my favorite Quincy at this point.
Well, he's the only Quincy with a personality.
Yeah. He's fun.
Yeah. So, he's determining what he should do about Rukia and Renji, and figures they have a flashy entrance, so he needs to go fight them.
It's as good a reason as any.
So not Ichigo grabs the chain around his ankle and says that just because they lost does not mean it's over, which I feel like that's a really good way for it to be over.
Yeah, that's kind of what over means. You know, and you lost the fight, therefore it's done.
So he yanks the chain and then clotheslines him into the ground. And his vice captain, or his captain, who I've never seen before.
Yes, you haven't?
No, I don't recall this guy.
Kensei, he's one of the Vizards.
Yeah.
Yeah, different hair.
He was the one, he's the original guy with the 69 tattoo.
Was he?
Well, I mean, not the first one that you see, but he is the origin of that number for whatever reason.
Anyway, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like this guy.
His release was like a survival knife.
Yeah.
So he immediately just pulls out his Bankai. Oh, okay, first another captain comes, who I don't recall either.
Yeah, he's another one of the Vizards. He's Rose. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says, like,
I don't remember what his release is.
It's a fencing sword, I believe.
No, because that's what, what's-his-face is, right? The vice-captain of one who died and had a Bankai, but nobody ever knew about it.
Anyway, he taunts Lucha Libre guy by saying that we're two captains. If you want to make a name for yourself, this is a good way. And so the other guy, what is his name? The other Vizard?
Rose?
The other guy.
Kensei?
The one with the fists.
Kensei.
Kensei.
Yeah.
He
just
immediately...
Straight Bankai.
Yeah, Tekken Tag Tournament. And he punches Lucha Libre guy right in the stomach. And basically, like, apparently that implodes his body.
Yeah, well, I also like the, you know, flying drop kick.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Lucha Libre does at him. But yeah, no, it's like he punches him right in the stomach and then holds onto him with the other arm. And it's revealed that the power of his Bankai is as long as he's holding onto him, as long as his hand is touching him, every blow he lands continues happening.
Which is it's Gummo Gummo Gatling without the animation.
Well, it actually reminded me more of, what's-his-face? Like, what ended up happening when Foxy did his slow beam and started wailing on people so everything landed at the same time?
Right.
But yeah, it's just, it's a creative power that uses, you know, the established actions of the character well, and it's just entertaining.
So he punches him again and just launches him off into a faraway building.
Yeah, just launches him into oblivion, basically. And then starts tearing into his lieutenant for not being able to beat that guy.
Yeah, because he seemed really weak. And
yeah. Well,
his lieutenant...
This is just really funny to me because... So what ended up happening was, you know, 100 years in the past or whatnot, the lieutenant was rescued by him. And that was kind of when he decided to become a Shinigami. And that's why he got the 69 tattoo, is because he has it, and everything else like that. And then, you know, he comes back from being a Vizard, goes straight out to goes straight back to being a captain, and his lieutenant is the suck up who's obsessed with him and is just completely underachieving right here. Like the concept of that amuses me.
Yeah, so he's the lieutenant kind of mentions that, oh no, you have it all wrong. You're not supposed to take out the Lucha Libre guy. Yeah, this is like the weird mole man.
I thought this was going to be the twist of like the small guy is actually the Steinritter. Like,
no, but he's just the healer.
Sorta.
Yeah. So. This reminded me of Takamagahara quite a bit. This entire thing.
Maybe that's why
the
I like
little
it.
Guy, the little unassuming guy is the one that you have to worry about.
Well, not really. It seems like Masked Masculine, that's what his name was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His power is that he gets stronger from applause. It has nothing to do with the little guy. It's just
the fact that the little guy is he brought him with him so he could applaud.
Yeah.
It fits perfectly into Bleach's one-hit KO and then come back thing, but it's entertaining as hell.
Yeah. There's at least a reason for it this time.
Yeah. Rosa's Shikai is like a whip with a mace at the end of it.
Oh, okay. That's right, he's Kurama.
I thought this was super cool.
I hope the next chapter just starts with Kensei and Rose going, boo! Ooh, you suck. And
just don't look.
Yeah. Just don't look.
Yeah, like this is pardon the term, but hot blooded in a way Bleach isn't usually.
It's fun, like I said before. Like
this was just an all around entertaining chapter. Start to finish. It was silly as hell, but it was fun.
I mean, a guy punched another guy a giant Lucha Libre monster in the stomach.
Through a building.
And then, but it did a million punches because he didn't take his arm away. That's fine. Like that's the kind of Bleach I like.
I like that attack because I'm just imagining the fighting game of two people standing perfectly still as a combo counter shows up on the screen and just starts going nuts.
Yeah.
While nothing happens.
I hope these guys do end up taking him out because it would be kind of shitty if like Rukia and Renji also popped up here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I already like these guys more than any of the main cast.
By virtue of not having any baggage that you're aware of.
Yeah.
They come
in and they do their attacks and they're like, all right.
And they get business done.
Yeah.
They come in at zero and are therefore ahead of everybody else.
Pretty much.
Honestly, it's as much because the fun part of Bleach has always been about revealing the new powers and whatnot, and they still have stuff to reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I bet we see Rose's Bankai. You know, next chapter.
Now, you see, my question is, given how well Bankai's worked against the Quincy's previously, why the heck are the people who, you know, have hollow abilities not pulling out the masks?
Maybe. We haven't seen them use the hollow mask since they became Shinigami again. I wonder if they got cured or whatever.
They never mentioned that.
I know they never mentioned it, but when does that ever stop Bleach?
So let's
have a panel of Uchiha or Urahara going like, oh, they're fighting. I haven't seen them since that time I gave them the curing button to cure their visoredness.
The curing button?
Yeah. It's all buttons.
Yeah. Button-based medicine.
I'm going to throw this inches away from your hand and you have to dramatically reach for it.
But yeah, good chat. I greatly enjoyed like every little aspect of this.
Especially after last week.
Yes.
And honestly, I even really like the art too.
Yeah.
It's Bleach. I like the character design and dumb powers.
Yeah.
That's all it needs.
This is why
I am going to go even a step further. I enjoyed some of the fan art that was with this chapter.
That's too far.
You crossed a line there that I don't walk back from.
I think Kumatite needs to, like, when he's done with Bleach, he needs to make his career as, like, a character designer for fighting games and RPGs.
Team up with Obata or whatever. Whatever one does the writing.
Oba.
Oba, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would read that.
Yeah. I mean, if Oba could keep him on a leash, it would be a really great manga.
I can just see that, like, okay, so there's, like, two new characters introduced. then Kubo Tite is just like, wait, what if there's 22 characters introduced? No!
If Kubo Tite did Bakemon, every single character would have been introduced like the first day. Like, by the way, these are your rivals, you middle school student.
It would have been like the New Year's party. And it's just like, every page is like a picture of a person and a title for like all 18 pages.
So Shokugeki no Soma then.
Basically.
Yeah. I know you haven't been reading that, Imran, but they're in the middle of a tournament thing right now, and it was kind of like the One Piece thing where it was kind of, here's a whole bunch of people you're not going to care about.
I wonder how Shokugeki, have they started merchandising that manga yet?
Oh god, I can just imagine the statues for it.
Because if it does well merchandising, then that thing's getting an anime soon.
I think that they said there was something with one of the magazines or something like that. There was a DVD that was being packaged with it that was like a short, like a not full anime. It might be one of those storybook things or something like that.
Like an anime test, basically.
Yeah.
Like Ass Class is getting.
Yeah, where they get the voice actors and like, do you guys want this? Is this the thing?
Yeah. So,
or maybe I'm thinking of the one that Ass Class got, not Soma. I could be wrong.
What do you guys think? Ass Class or Shokugeki no Soma getting an anime first?
Ass Class will get it first, because there's more content to draw from.
True.
But Shokugeki, if it merchandises well, it's going to get an anime, I would say, before the end of 2014.
Yeah.
I think it'll be announced before the end
of
before, year.
Yeah, announced before the end of 2014.
Yeah, I don't know. Because
Desu still hasn't started airing yet.
No, it starts airing next year.
Yeah.
I bet we see an Assassination Classroom announcement, like,
June,
spring?
I mean, Jump Fest is in a week.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if we'll see it there.
Is it going to announce
it? We weren't sure whether Ass Class would get a manga.
We weren't sure if it would, like, last.
Well, no, I meant even after that, just the entire, like, yeah, but it's, you know, about...
Killing your teacher?
Killing your teacher.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of killing your teacher...
Yeah, that's a good enough one. So.
Yeah,
there we go.
I realize we're talking about Assassination Classroom when it's not the next manga we're going to be talking about.
So Madara's hella human again.
Yeah.
And he can just, you know, shrug off everything at this point.
Yeah, he's no longer immortal, but that doesn't actually matter because now he's God.
Yeah, like, and he's more powerful for whatever reason.
So for some reason Sasuke's on Sai's bird.
Yeah, that's not... It doesn't...
Maybe he
did
that,
he pick him up like... last chapter or something? I don't know.
Off screen. Dude, Sasuke just demanded it and Sai just agreed.
Sasuke can just do it, and then like when asked why, he's like, well, you're just the cheap imitation of me, so clearly I can do everything you can do too.
Well, logically, shouldn't he be able to just copy all of Sai's jutsus?
Theoretically, but that's
just art, right?
Well, that's what, you know, remember back when that's what the Sharingan could do, as opposed to everything else?
Like melting Madara's eyes at the start of this chapter.
Like, yeah. He can't do anything Senju necessary, so he couldn't do, like, a Rasengan. But he could probably do all of Sai's techniques.
I'm still not sure.
Well, no, that was the thing, was that's why Kakashi is the copy ninja, is that it's supposed to allow you to see how to do everything.
Well, Kakashi copied ninja because he could copy hand seals. Like, anything that requires your own chakra, that, like, I wouldn't think he could do.
Yeah, I thought it was only bloodline limits it couldn't copy, but whatever.
I don't know.
I do still love that it's just like, yep, I'm on a bird, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, also I'm here. So he decides to immediately, like, let's just end this and use Amaterasu on Madara.
Which, good call, and, Sasuke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, if you're going to go in against the big bad, why not pull out all the shots?
Start sending out fire right away.
Madara just laughs it off.
Yeah, he just absorbs it and then, or no, he uses the, what's it called? Must be what he's doing, because his eyes close.
Well, his eyes...
He must be doing that. Well, no, he had the Rinnegan.
Yeah.
When he first started transforming, we see that. But then, remember that thing from, what's it called? The fight against,
Pain?
No, the Hokage. The evil Hokage.
Oh.
Danzo?
Danzo. Remember how he had that thing where he could sacrifice his eye to undo anything?
Oh.
I'm wondering if that's what he's doing right here.
Well,
because
I mean,
his eye closes, he's not able to use it.
Hashirama points out that he absorbed the ninjutsu.
Yeah, but it's not explained how, and his eye closes.
Oh, that's true.
After, like, melting or whatever happens to them.
Yeah.
So Madara starts asking Hashirama, like, you remember that time we had that really vague conversation? It turns out I interpreted
yin and yang, and it could totally be interpreted a different way.
Yeah, Hashirama interpreted it as finding peace. Madara interpreted it as going crazy.
Yeah, as grafting your DNA into my own so that, you know, I'm growing your face out of my chest.
Yeah, as a face boob. Or a boob face. So, he says an acquaintance of an underling showed him how to do it.
Orochimaru.
Was it Orochimaru?
It's gotta be.
Be an acquaintance of his underling, Obito. They were in Akatsuki together.
They
were. I can see that.
Yeah.
I also just love that it's like, yeah, I know, everyone's doing it. It's super cool.
I was thinking it was Kabuto, actually.
Hmm.
Because he's had similar ideas, and he did work with Obito quite a bit.
Yeah, could be.
Didn't Danzo also have a Hashirama face, or am I thinking of something else?
No, he didn't. Nobody else had the face, I don't think.
I could swear someone had a Hashirama face in him.
See, when you first said that, heard you say Hashirama phase, which is basically true for this manga.
Get a Flock of Seagulls haircut and some Hashirama DNA.
Yeah. It's the cool thing to do.
Whatever, Mom. I'm going to go make trees outside.
So Madara has basically paralyzed Hashirama with chakra rods, I guess?
Yeah, and, you know, he basically runs through everybody else, one-shotting them, and then goes and absorbs Hashirama's chakra.
Yeah.
Senju. Yeah.
Senjutsu.
Whatever.
Yeah. Ninja so, word. Even despite him being Ito Tensei, he just completely, I guess, drains him dry, then destroys him?
He's not destroyed. I think he's just like...
He's a husk.
Yeah.
Well, he released him from the Ito Tensei.
Yeah.
At least that's how I interpreted it.
I thought
He's crumbling, but I think that's more just like he's in bad shape, not actually dying.
Yeah.
So Sasuke charges at him with the sword and says he's going to make him regret not being in Ito Tensei form, because that means he's mortal.
Yeah, I like that someone finally pointed out that was may have been a dumb move, but then...
Madara basically grabs his sword through his arm.
Yeah, he just like catches it in his bicep.
And I liked his, yeah, you know, your eyes will do good enough until I get my Rinnegan back. Let me take them and do some quick eye surgery while I'm here on the battlefield.
Which is, you know, that's a pretty good plan.
Yep.
It would be a good thing to establish Madara as, like, the ultimate Naruto villain. For him to do the one thing Orochimaru could just never do.
So, yeah. Meanwhile, Obito appears to be dying.
Yeah, and Zetsu's... Like, the panel is kind of hilarious, because it looks like Zetsu and Kakashi and Fourth are just, like, standing there for a while, just staring at each other awkwardly.
Yeah.
Like, the camera keeps panning between all of them, and, like, their eyes kind of dart back and forth between each other.
the guy just popped out of the ground.
Kakashi
hey.
Did a half-black, half-white man just pop out of the ground and suck itself into Obito and then suck itself back out?
I've only been back for a while. What happened?
What the fuck are you guys doing out here?
So Zetsu is saying that Obito's, now that he's used the Rinne Tensei, he's going to die soon.
Yeah, so he might as well use his body in the meantime.
Well, no, he's trying to take the Rinnegan and to give it to Madara.
Yeah.
And Kakashi and Fourth immediately reach for him to stop him. And then... So he, like, latches onto Obito.
He assumes control, basically, of Obito's body.
Yeah.
Then has a mini flashback to explain how he's still alive.
That when Mizukage's attendant killed him, he just snuck into the ground.
Slipped away.
Yeah, like half of him did. And then there is a really creepy panel with that half grinning over Obito's body.
Yeah.
Like with the half grin and like the slime sticking between it.
Yeah.
That panel, I don't know why, I just love that panel so much.
How Madara realized that the Hokages were nothing to him in the flashback. He's like, I'm just going to play around with these guys for a while. Do what you want.
So Obito appears to be, like, gone at this point. Like, he's not talking or doing anything. It's all
talking. He's just kind of dying.
Well, I mean, even in the best case scenario, he was already paralyzed from losing the Biju.
Yeah.
So Madara's wrestling with Sasuke and trying to convince him to join the group. And also Sai's there.
Sai, the most important member of Team 7?
That's what I was thinking as you see him rushing into the panel from the side. I was like, yeah, I'm a Teen Seven too. I should help.
It's Team Seven: Naruto, Sai, and Sasuke. All the important people are there. Sorry, Sakura, you've been knocked down a rung.
So Sasuke says he's not going to join Madara, and Ron's like, "All right, whatever," and just blows everyone away with fire.
Man, is Sai gonna die since he's like right here in this fight?
Maybe.
I don't know. He seems like a prime candidate.
I mean, yep, they already killed him.
So, you know, Madara just, you know, by stepping on a person's body is sucking out all of their chakra and using it to heal himself.
Yep.
And then basically sets up next chapter, which is Madara versus the tailed beasts.
And it makes it sound like Madara is the one with the huge advantage here.
Yeah. He sees no problem staring down this army and monsters.
Yeah. It just, it is such a wonderful badass panel.
One thing I noticed that I'm not sure if it's going to be important is that the Seven Tails is not there. Like, there's only six of the
Which one was Seven Tails?
It's the big Kabuto Beetle one.
No, there's seven of them
it's,
there.
It's there on the right. The far right. Look to the right of the
There's
tiger.
Like one behind the turtle and the one blue fox thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, if you guys say so. I don't see anything there.
At least I think that that's a different one.
There's the three tails behind him.
Oh, yeah, that's what those are. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, there's only six tailed beasts there, and then there's, you know, B and Naruto.
Maybe he's off chilling with Orochimaru and Sarutobi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take this, like, this entire chapter and flip it around and, like, imagine that Madara is the protagonist and this is him fighting the enemy army. How badass would this chapter be?
Basically Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
Tearing through people.
I mean, this is a great way to do power establishment right here. Just Madara taking out everybody and the strongest monsters in the Naruto world.
Absorbing them into himself one by one, the way that we were talking about how they would have to be sucked out of Obito one by one.
Yeah. Does he even need to address, like, is that his plan to become the new sage?
I'm guessing that's what his plan is. Because, you know, at this point, I'm assuming that the hypnotize everybody is not his actual plan.
No, I think he wants to be God. He wants to be God King ruling from atop his throne of blood.
I mean, no one can stop him already. Like, the only person who stood a chance against him with Hashirama.
Except one plucky young boy from Konoha. Sai.
It turns out Neji was the only one that could stop Madara.
Yeah, his 360-degree vision was the one thing that could stop him.
Whoops.
And then everyone looks at Hinata, and she just shrugs.
Kind of wasted that card early, huh?
I really should have been more protective of him.
Shouldn't have let him just run up and take Naruto's hit for him.
I should have taken that hit again.
But yeah, like, next chapter is going to be some fighting, I bet.
Yeah, next chapter is going to be Madara tearing into the tailed beasts.
I'd say as soon as he absorbs one of them, that's the trail for bad, bad things to start happening.
I wonder
if what's going to happen is he absorbs one of them, and then the other ones all go, fuck this, and, like, go to Naruto so he can absorb them, or something like that.
That would be cool to see Naruto get, like, 10 tail powers.
Yeah.
And that would also be a neat way for him to get power, like, you know, given what we've seen of Madara, that would be a, oh, hey, now he can actually take him on.
He can go Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Super Saiyan for everybody.
Super-er Saiyan. Yeah.
I do like the idea that, like, Madara not being immortal makes him waste. He basically kindled and became reverse holification.
Yeah, those are words from a game.
Yes. He became way stronger because he's no longer a shambling zombie.
Yeah, great, great chapter.
Yeah, again, same thing with Bleach. It was hot-blooded.
Yeah, and honestly, this is the one of the things for, I'll say, all three of these last ones is not only were the chapters great, but the place that they end is just making me desperately want the next chapter already.
Look at the calendar and go, like, God damn it. Go, go, go. Faster.
Yeah. So, moving on to S-Class?
Yep.
Weapon time.
And people are still making fun of Nagisa for being a girl.
Because they're high school students, and that's what would happen.
They say that, like, what's his name? Yeah, the guy that showed up recently. He says that, like, there's a history of assassins wearing women's clothing to sneak into places. And then Karma tells him it's better to get rid of it early.
Something about hormones.
So they are on the final leg of this infiltration.
Yeah, they just have to get through this concert hall and they're home free. Yeah.
And they see two guards and they're not quite sure how to take them out, but Kuro-sensei tells Terracotta that they should use the thing he has in his backpack. So they send, who is that, Isagai?
That who they...
I'm trying to find...
Oh, Kimura.
Kimura.
Yeah.
They send him to go, like, lure the guards over there.
By being a giant asshole.
Yeah. He goes there and makes fun of them, then runs away.
I do enjoy that Tarasaka's like, I'll handle this. Hey, Kimura, go over there.
You handle it.
He learned from Karma.
So he and Yoshida tackle the running guards and then hit them with stun guns in a non-realistic way.
Yeah. Well, not stun guns, cattle prods.
Yeah, you can't hold on to someone's head while you're hitting them with a cattle prod.
That they have, like, did not occur to me at the time.
They have, like, latex gloves on that are skin-colored.
Like, it's a cool image, but that's going to get you knocked out, too.
No, yeah. See, the electricity only something. But it turns out that Terracotta bought these with the money that he got from Shiro, which I totally forgot about, that he actually got a fat lot of cash from him.
Yeah. So he finds their guns, or they find the guns and decide to take them with them.
Yeah, and gee, he recognizes them.
As real guns?
No, the guards. Karasuma recognizes the guards.
Yeah.
This is the point when I went, oh, Mike was right. Or was it you who called that, Mike?
What, who the leader is?
Yeah.
I think we've all said that, like, Karasuma probably knew him.
No, I think I know exactly who he is.
Yeah, no, that's who I think it exactly is at this point, too. And I think that one of you called it right at the
beginning. Oh, yeah, you said it was, what was his name?
Jim, the gym teacher guy.
Yeah.
And that's totally who it is.
I think I said that back at the first silhouette. I said it kind of looked a little bit like him.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Well, yeah. We've established where his scars come from this chapter.
Yeah.
So anyway, they find guns and decide to play with them.
Yeah, they find real guns.
Kuro-sensei tells them it's basically no killing.
Yeah. But they give it to Chiba and Hayami, which I think you guessed, Imran.
Yeah, because anyone who's had that moment of, like, I need to be redeemed has had their redemption moment this arc.
Yeah, you said that this was going to be their time to shine, so they get the spotlight
and
put on.
And, like, the main thing that, like, I do like how, despite the fact that they've been practicing sniping and everything like that, and yes, handguns are a different skill than sniping, but we're going to ignore that, the entire, these are real guns, kind of freaking them out was refreshing.
Yeah. Because they've just been using, like, you know, airsoft guns with
Nerf guns.
Pellet guns.
So, what was his name? The gun-eating guy?
Gastro.
Gastro and the silhouetted assassin who we still don't have a name for.
Who is scratching his own face in,
and
like,
he's digging his
scars.
Fingers into his scars and causing, like, more blood to come out. So they have a looking at the students who are still sick in the hotel room and notice that they only see one set and they haven't really moved or no one else has really come in.
Yeah,
but he's really enjoying this. Like, he wants to use his money to pay to infect more students.
Yeah, he hates kids.
Yeah.
And Gastro is kind of none too pleased with this.
Yeah, he thinks he's crazy. He just wants money.
When the guy that, like, is eating a gun thinks you're crazy, you're pretty crazy.
Plus, he doesn't like the whole job because he's nothing but a gopher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked the line, this job's starting to leave a bad taste in my mouth.
But nothing tastes good as guns, so that's to be expected.
There's a really, really creepy panel of him, like,
filleting the gun?
Yeah, that looks like something that might have been inspired by, I don't know.
So he, upon walking into the concert hall, hears young breathing of 14 or 15 people.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're mostly mid-teens, so everyone who could move busted in here, huh?
I love it, like, it just instantly.
Yeah.
And so he starts announcing that this hall is completely soundproof and his gun is real, so he's just going to kill everybody.
The thing I love about Gastro is he's actually kind of badass, but he's always got that derpy look on his face.
Yeah.
So one of the snipers takes a shot, trying to knock the gun out, and misses, but it also goes right by his head.
Yeah.
So she almost killed him.
Yeah.
And then he starts to get a little freaked out, and he realizes that from the sound of the discharge that they're M60s that they stole from the guards.
So then
he turns
like,
on the lights and stuff, like the fireworks on stage.
Which is the coolest possible thing anybody could do here.
So he's excited because his job is finally getting exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So them just trying to shoot the gun out of his hand is a decent enough battle.
Yeah. If they could get the gun out of his hand, Hirosaka and Karma could probably take him out, I would imagine.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
But yeah,
I love that he started up the lights and the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next chapter is going to be so great.
It really is.
I was kind of hoping it would have been out by now.
Yeah.
But oh well.
I had my fingers crossed we'd have two to talk about. Ah.
So, given who the big bad is now, I'm going to guess that Nagisa is the person to take him out.
Yeah, potentially who he is.
Yeah.
But it looks
I'm not convinced that's him.
Oh, it's totally him. Him ranting about the middle school kids and everything else like that.
He could just be fucking crazy.
He could.
There's no shortage of those people in Assassination Classroom.
He's taking pleasure in these specific kids, like,
suffering.
Having their weapons.
Like, it might be him, but...
It looks quite a bit like him. I will put all my chips on that being that guy. The associate of Karma's that was a real asshole in Nagisa.
Karasuma.
Yeah. What did I say?
Karma.
Yeah, sure. Karasuma and the one that Nagisa almost just slit his fucking throat. So it'll be great if Karma just has to, or Nagisa just has to actually do that. Like if
yeah,
that's
that would be an interesting like if he does actually have to kill him. Now that would be really dark for well, not really dark, but that would be darker than the series has gone.
I think it'll be like one of those deals of, like you'll have to kill me to stop me, and they just end up stopping him some other way. But yeah. They're getting real close to the finale of this arc.
I'm trying to find his name, but I can't.
Yeah, I think it was it also bird related? Like Karasuma's is?
Not that I can
I'm not
see.
Sure.
Like, why do you not have this Assassination Classroom wiki?
Yeah.
He's a pretty major. He's a more major character than Isagai.
That's what that guy's name. Yeah.
What?
The one that I couldn't think of earlier. The guy that kind of showed up earlier.
Yeah, I
don't know. We'll just leave it to it for now.
Yeah, it's somebody. But
yep.
I'm not 100% convinced it's the same guy yet.
Yeah, I think there's a significant chance that it could be.
Yes. And cause, well, I mean, the biggest evidence would be that he knows about Goro-sensei. So... How is that not public knowledge, really? But yeah, Assassination Classroom. Good chapter, really can't wait for next week.
Oh, Akira Takahata, Takaoka, that's what it was. Takaoka,
that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It being a really distinctive name that was fun to say.
So yeah, that's. I'm going to guess it's Takaoka is behind this.
Yeah. And I am with you on that.
We'll see. I'm not against the idea, but I'm not convinced yet. So One Piece Caribou, fuck Caribou. It's still going on.
Still going.
So one of the aggregate sites put up like a re-release of an old chapter, and I clicked on it, and it did not have Caribou on the cover, and I'm like, oh, thank God. And then I realized it was a chapter, and then I found the new one. It's like, oh, God damn it. I got my hopes up.
Well, this one might be the end, because it's not directly
now,
about
they,
Caribou.
Don't they normally say end on the last one?
Do they?
I think so. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, so it picks up where Doflamingo has just put a bunch of bullets in the law.
And
who is...
you know, he explains to the crowd that he's the one that Law is the person responsible for spreading the rumor about the end of the throne, and everybody's like, "Oh, that makes perfect sense. We're so happy."
Yay.
So Law's not dead yet.
Yeah, he seems to be dying.
He is dying, but Doflamingo did not explicitly kill him.
Yeah, but he is definitely not in good shape. Like, right. He is on the verge of death.
So everyone's still on the Denden Mushi. So pretty much everyone's involved in what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Mostly in a what the hell just happened, were those gunshots kind of way.
Yeah. And Kinemon and Zoro run at Doflamingo, and the Admiral jumps in.
Fujitora.
Yeah.
Which he stops Zoro's sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uses his gravity power to, you know, open a chasm beneath him, and then while Zoro is falling, he does like an air blade thing enough to break the ground beneath him and make his way back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically he just bodied the strongest, or one of the strongest people in One Piece.
Yeah. The thing that stood out to me is that Zoro caught his blade, but then his sunglasses cut.
Yeah.
So, like, another attack had already happened that he had missed and just barely missed him.
So or Kinemon, he wasn't able to fully block it.
Yeah, something happened.
Kinemon also rushed forward, but he gets cut down by Doflamingo.
Because of course he would. Like,
yeah, well, not fully taken out. He's just stopped.
He's momentarily incapacitated.
There is blood. I think Doflamingo just used a wire attack.
Yeah. And so, you know, they realize the old blind gambler is the admiral, and he basically says, you know, although I'm appreciative of the hospitality you gave me, we're enemies.
Yeah. Fujitora does not seem psyched to be defending Doflamingo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fujitora does not seem like a bad person.
No. But he seems like the kind of person that will do his job even if he doesn't like it.
Yeah. He seems like the sort of person who follows blind justice.
Mm. Eh? So they Kinemon just informs the rest of the group that Fujitora is a Marine Admiral, and that there's an Admiral on the island defending Doflamingo. And then everyone has a moment of like, wait a second. If Doflamingo's working with admirals, then this is a lot harder than it seemed.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Fujitora, Doflamingo, with Law underneath his arm, they fly away.
Go to the palace.
Doflamingo says he's a proposal for Fujitora.
Yeah, and the Marines start attacking the two of them to try and capture Kinemon and Zoro, and so the two of them kind of decide to run around the Colosseum until Luffy can find a way out.
Oh, we forgot to mention one important thing, that when Doflamingo realized it was Kinemon, he said, oh, so that must have been Momonosuke on the ship.
Yeah.
So he does know who Momonosuke is.
Yeah.
And probably did do things to him.
So yeah, they're just going to keep everyone busy while Law finishes, but oh wait, shit, something's happening on the Sunny.
Yeah, and it cuts to the best pit, like, the best twist that this arc has had yet.
Big Mom showed up.
With a singing ship.
Yes.
A singing
ship. That is aware
ship.
That it is a ship.
It's like, just singing ship.
I thought at first it was, three ships, because the other two sails are like secondary ships, but it's just one giant ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, mind you, it has to be giant if it has Big Mom on it, but...
So I was noticing Big Mom's Jolly Roger has, like, a tree branch on it. Do you think that's indicative of her powers?
I thought it was candy.
Is it candy? It could be candy,
yeah, she
I
can
guess.
Turn. Yeah, I think she can turn people into candy or something like that, right?
Oh, so it's probably just candy floss.
Yeah.
Not a tree.
Could be, yeah.
Or, like, cotton candy or something.
Or maybe it's a tree and indicative of something else.
Yeah. Who knows? But Sanji figures out that, hey, that's definitely the people that they saw on Fishman Island.
I really enjoy, like, the scale of them just being, like, super tiny next to this candle that you see on the ship.
Yeah. And
Peckham and who's the other one?
What was that guy's name?
The lion guy?
No, that's Peckham.
Oh.
I don't remember what the egg guy's name is.
Whatever.
So, for some reason, they realize that they're looking for Caesar.
Yeah, well, because they're saying that...
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how they're hearing that.
We can
that,
confirm but... that they're shouting. Who cares? Oh.
It's manga. They can read.
So, Caesar begs them to not let Big Mom get their hands on him.
Yeah,
because
apparently,
back in the day, he had ripped them off to get, you know, funding
research
to
money.
Start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Sanji's, like, is there anyone you haven't pissed off speech?
But he's not going to give Caesar Crown to Big Mom, because that just doesn't sit right with him.
Yeah. And Frankie shouts about, you know, if Big Mom comes here, that'll throw a giant wrench into the entire revolution thing, so get them away from here. You know, more so than an admiral being here also kind of messing with the whole revolution thing.
Yeah, they don't even know about... Oh, I guess they do know about CP0, don't they? They did see him.
No, I don't think that they do.
Didn't
I think Law Robin recognized.
Yeah, Law and Robin pointed him out, I thought, when they were walking around. Still, though, there's a lot of wrenches being thrown in.
So Nami gives a speech about how right now they have three cards. They have Caesar Crown, Momonosuke, and the Factory.
And they have two, so we should do everything possible to prevent Doflamingo from getting two, either of those two. Otherwise, Law doing
Law's
what
sacrifice
he did
meant nothing.
Yeah, meant nothing.
So I like during her speech that while she grabs Caesar Crown by the face and she grabs Momonosuke up to her chest, and Momonosuke starts blushing.
Yeah.
So basically what she's saying is they're going to have to leave the island.
This is the Sanji phone moment, I think.
Yeah.
It was not explicitly Sanji, but
this is
that moment for this arc.
Oh, they're going to head to Zoe, which is the next island on the Grand Line.
Yeah.
Which is where Law's crew is.
Yeah. So the important thing for me here is everyone else still on Dressrosa does not have a way off now.
Like, yeah.
They're stranded on this island. The Sunny is leaving.
Well, the Sunny's leaving, but Sanji needs one order from the captain before he does it.
Yeah.
It's a really badass panel of him standing on the bow and saying he needs permission to fire back on the ship.
And Luffy's like, yeah, go ahead.
They started it, you finish it.
And then the background of Momonosuke, Chopper, Nami, and Brook just freaking out.
Yeah. Momonosuke is so scared he went dragon.
Yes.
And then Frankie decides, they're going to blow up the factory, and then Usopp's freaking out.
Robin's pretty nonplussed by it.
Yeah.
I love that Frankie just wants to join in on the shouting, too, and he's like, yeah, we're going to blow up the factory, woo!
So, while they're going to Zoe, I think Frankie's going to blow up the factory, and Luffy's going to go after Doflamingo.
Yep, they're going.
He's going to head to the bust palace out of the Colosseum.
Yeah, he's heading straight for the palace to get Law.
Yeah, he is not thinking about the fire fruit at all right now.
Yeah, it's basically like in total fuck this tournament mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's interesting is on that final page, it does show Rebecca.
Yeah.
And also Violet.
Yeah.
But so I'm just saying that she's the one that's still in the tournament who's being shown, so I'm guessing she's going to be the one who's going to get it at this point.
I'm going to guess she ends up falling through the Colosseum to the toy area.
Like, while Frankie and all them are there blowing it up or something?
Yeah.
Joins in on that side?
Yeah.
And then she has the dodging hockey, she'll be able to avoid the thing that's going to try and suck her up, and she'll be fighting it.
I can see that.
I'd like to see her get a fight against one of Doflamingo's crew.
That would be, actually be really cool. And then, she ends up being the person who beats him, which causes all the memories to come back.
Yeah, including her own.
Yeah, I can see her and Violet fighting him, because, yeah, that would make sense.
I love the flavor text on the end talking about the personification of evil that needs to be taken down. Like, this is a really cool setup for taking down Doflamingo.
Doflamingo is the best villain One Piece has had since Spanda.
Yeah,
I would say best villain since Crocodile. Like, straight up.
Best villain, period. Like, so far. He's so evil, he's so flamboyant, he's got such an interesting crew.
He is extremely competent.
Yeah.
I feel like he needed just another couple, like, just another arc of...
in the street. Like...
It doesn't feel personal enough yet, is the problem.
Yeah.
I also do like how this is basically being set up now, that Zoro is going to be fighting an admiral, Luffy is going to be fighting a Shishibukai, and Sanji is going to be fighting a Yonko.
Yeah, so...
The Big Mom twist is, the best thing.
I just got to the page and went, oh, God.
Just see Big Mom in giant text in this giant ship, it's like, oh, that's not good. That's a bad thing.
Like, nobody could have possibly have seen that coming.
Yeah, this chapter, to me, with the entire, fire on Big Mom ship, too, it felt like the NES lobby, blow up the flag.
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah.
The Big Mom thing, I was just thinking of, the real dial of things getting real, and it, went past 10 to 11.
Yeah.
That scene with Sanji saying, I need your permission to fire back, is just top 10 One Piece moments.
So cool.
Yeah,
I
broke down and read the spoilers again, saw those two words and went, oh shit.
I feel like this is a perfect situation why you should not read the spoilers.
Got that feeling before you guys.
But you didn't get it in the same intensity.
Do you think so?
I think so. There's no way to measure it, but I'm pretty sure I enjoy this chapter more.
I have no proof, but I think you suck.
That is my feeling. That's why I don't read the spoilers, because seeing all this in the actual manga form was better.
And, like, you don't want to read the poorly translated Cliff's Notes. You want to just read the chapter.
And also, like, there's that moment of when you're reading the spoilers, like, are we for sure this is what actually happened?
Yeah, Big Mom shows up? Yeah, sure, okay.
Whatever. Oh, Fujitora beats Zoro? Okay.
And it's like, oh, I guess that did happen. Neat.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I love the singing ship.
Yeah.
I have to say,
I liked the bad translation of that more, where it was going, I'm a ship.
Yeah, I liked it so much that I was looking for the Japanese RAW to find out if it actually said that in English, because that would be amazing.
It's like, I'm on a boat, except I am a boat.
I would say, I wonder if this is like, maybe the boat is even a devil fruit user, like a person.
But I don't think it would be able to float.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Unless it's That would be interesting if someone had like a boat fruit and it was like the one fruit that could actually, like, he couldn't swim, but he could float on water.
So what do you guys say? Is Big Mom actually on that ship?
Maybe. It's big enough.
Yeah, it looks big enough. I didn't realize the scale of where Peckham and those guys were on the big one, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those little dollops of icing is, like, taller than they are, so.
Was Big Mom one of Doflamingo's customers?
Yeah. She's like, his biggest customer for the smile.
So she has a vested interest.
I thought that, what's his name was?
Kaido.
You're right, Kaido. Yeah, that's right.
Kaido has the giant army of them.
I feel like they've done business, like, that's been mentioned before.
It's all part of the underworld. Isn't there something about the candy factory that was... No, that was Fishman.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was the person with the candy factory that, you know, he blew up, or he ate everything from. But then in addition to that, there was also... I mean, like, I don't think that Big Mom was a client of Doflamingo's because, you know, if she wants Caesar that badly...
Yeah, she kind of doesn't give a shit about Doflamingo. She's just there for Caesar. And also, presumably, the Straw Hats.
Yeah. But really good chapter. A really good chapter, and there's no hiatus next week.
Yeah. It came back from a hiatus.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I said to you, Mike, when we were talking is, remember how we were talking about how, oh yeah, One Piece always seems to, you know, get this awesome momentum going, then go on break, and then trip when it comes back, and then this chapter happened.
Yeah, this just like pirouetted into a somersault and landed it perfectly. Awesome chapter.
So I wonder if the ship's actually like legitimately singing, or it's like Luffy's getting that ability to hear the voice of all things.
I think it's actually singing. I think it's...
It's One Piece. It's probably actually singing.
Okay. Because that's a known thing, right? Like, he's done that before.
It's mostly talking to animals.
Yeah. He was able to detect that Law is still alive, but that was more a Haki thing. At least I think so.
Anywho, good chapters from everything this week. Good week.
Yeah,
just
overall great week.
Grand slam.
Good job, Shonen Jump.
Way to line up those scanlations from all those various chapters from different weeks so we would get them all in the same week.
Well, this is the first week of the new year for Shonen Jump, wasn't it?
Yeah. None of these chapters, well, the Ass Class chapters will, and so will Nisekoi, but the other chapters won't factor into our manga of the year.
But they will for next year.
Yes, when we will have completely forgotten about them.
I don't know, we have to go back and actually check our numbers for this.
Yeah, we need to go find out what chapters they start on so we at least have a ballpark of idea.
Yeah, really good chapter. Like, amazing One Piece. This is why I love One Piece, even though when it gets meandering, I kind of don't add much, but...
Yeah, this is why we read One Piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is that a podcast?
Which, speaking of One Piece, if you're not watching it on Toonami, well, mind you, this month there's totally not, but you need to start watching it right now because it's getting into the really awesome stuff.
Yeah. The Water 7?
Yeah, they just... The most recent one was where they destroyed Frankie House.
Ooh, yeah, so that's getting real close.
Wasn't there, like, a thing where Oda put Franky in the crew because he liked the voice actor?
Yeah, no, he liked the voice actor for Mr. Two so much that he designed a new character for him to voice to be part of the crew. And that's where Franky came from. He has the voice actor of Mr. Two.
Yeah, which is why Mr. Two will never actually join the crew.
Yeah.
despite being now, the man, despite being the manliest person in One Piece.
Or no, wait, he reopened the new Kama house, right?
Yeah. So he's in Impeldown. He'll come back for the final battle. You just
wait. Did they ever confirm that? Like,
yeah, no, that was in the Around the World thing. Was that he had reopened the thing inside of Impeldown?
Okay, he didn't die.
Yeah, the implication was that he died, but it's One Piece. Yeah. Nobody dies except Ace, who is still dead.
Law got shot in the face.
Like Law got shot ago. Repeatedly.
And Ace is not still dead as of 6 hours ago.
So now I'm kind of hoping they go grab Law's crew and then all of them roll into Dressrosa to rescue Law. Because that means more Beppo.
Yeah. Oh, man, Beppo. Yes. That's when this arc will really take off.
That's going to be the shit god real moment.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to be a podcast then. This has been your Friday, December 6th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you all next week.
When you say Akira on Toonami, I just think of the community thing when Shirley is saying that she saw Pulp Fiction on a flight, and it was a really lovely 30-minute movie about a bunch of friends who read the Bible.